Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, if you or someone you know is looking for a hot tub, there's only one place to go in town, because Hot Tub Outlet is probably the only place that actually has hot tubs right now because of supply chains that have broken down. You walk into a lot of places and they'll say, hey, we can get you a hot tub, but you're going to have to wait a while. Not at Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. They have two warehouses of hot tubs ready to sell right now, 15 different models, and truckloads of hot tubs delivered every month. So don't wait. Get one right now. All their hot tubs are made in the U.S. They have great insulation as well. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or HotTubOutletDenver.com right now. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Bleacher Report columnist Maurice Morton forecasts the Broncos firing Vic Fangio at the end of the season, or perhaps as early as December. Morton writes, quote, with a new front office executive who may want to hire a head coach of his choosing and two uninspiring quarterbacks vying for the starting role, Fangio could lose his job if Denver falls out of playoff contention by December. Denver will be starting its search for a new lead skipper at the end of another sub-500 season. You see this as a possibility, a strong possibility, or no possibility at all?
I see it as a possibility if things are a disaster. I mean, and when I say disaster, I mean we're talking about another season like last year, where the equivalent, I guess, would be 5-12 or 6-11. If it's heading in that direction, then I could see a move happening during the season. And if it didn't happen during the season, I think it would happen right after. I would say that Vic Fangio probably needs to get to 9 wins to feel good, to feel secure going into 2022. Any less than that, 8-9, it could be on the borderline, but could depend on whether they were playing well down the stretch or not. But for Vic Fangio wants to feel good about his job going in 2022, he needs to have a winning season.
Okay, I'm going to run through a list of teams. I know you well enough to know this, mm-hmm. that you can probably tell me not only the head coach, but roughly how long that head coach has been there. Mm. You ready?
Yes.
Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin took the job in, I believe, 07.
Okay, so he's been there a long time. John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh took the job in 08 in Baltimore.
Okay. Kansas City.
Andy Reid became the coach in 2013.
New Orleans Saints.
Sean Payton came in right after Katrina, 06.
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll took the job in 2010 in Seattle.
Some of the best teams in football. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
What do they all have in common?
Continuity.
No, great quarterbacks.
That's true, too. Although
the only reason. Yes. That's the only reason. So the question is, when
John Harbaugh didn't have a great quarterback for a long time, though. He had a decent quarterback that they paid like an elite quarterback in Joe Flacco.
Right.
So
he had a great defense.
And great special teams as well. Remember, John Harbaugh, his background is special teams. So they had two phases that were always good.
But Joe Flacco was always good enough, and then there was some talk about John Harbaugh not being the head coach anymore until they got who in the draft?
Lamar Jackson.
Right, and now his job is totally safe. Yeah. You look at Bill Belichick. He had Tom Brady for all those years. Mm-hmm. He's not going anywhere. Cleveland Browns, they ran through coaches like you run through toilet paper. Why? No quarterback. Same with Cincinnati. Same with Indianapolis, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
A lot of teams. You have a great quarterback, you're going to have job security. So the truth of it is, Is Fangio really set up to succeed, knowing over the last 2 years his quarterbacks have not been very good? Well, I mean, let's face it. If he had Aaron Rodgers, we are not talking about Vic Fangio being on the hot seat.
No, we're not. Now, that being said, if they had Aaron Rodgers, if they brought him in now, you wonder what the move would be if there was a move, if they finished, say, 10-7, like if they were a fringe playoff team, would that be enough to bring Fangio back, or would that put him kind of on a hot seat saying, well, okay, you guys had a winning season, but we didn't live up to expectations per se? That's kind of an interesting thing with Fangio. But it's funny you mention those coaches, and you mentioned Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, his first two seasons on the job in Seattle, were losing seasons. They were lucky enough to get in the playoffs one of those years because the NFC West was so terrible back in 2010. But Pete Carroll didn't have a winning season until Russell Wilson walked through those doors.
And listen,
And by the way, the next coach, if you'd gone one coach further in terms of when they were hired, the longest tenured head coaches, the next guy would have been Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, who, kind of like Vic Fangio, hasn't had that stability at quarterback.
Well, but there's something to be said as well. When you look at John Gruden, he didn't have much of a quarterback, but he had a great defense, right? Brian Billick didn't have much of a quarterback, but he had a historic defense, just like Gruden did, just like Pete Carroll did, right?
Those are Hall of Fame, great defenses with like at least three Hall of Famers starting for them. All-timers.
Not really good defenses, historic defenses. Uh-huh. And that can get you over the top for maybe a season, because let's be honest, after that Baltimore Ravens win in the Super Bowl, were the Ravens really that good moving forward? Not really. Were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers really that good moving forward? Not really.
No.
But when you look at Pete Carroll, he had Russell Wilson coming into his own. At the end of the day, you have job security if you have a great quarterback. So let's look at Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio. They were not handed a great set of cards with their quarterback situation. So give me some coaches that you honestly think could have done better with the Broncos, knowing the Broncos' quarterback situation over the last 5 years. Could Pete Carroll really have done that much better? Mike Tomlin, really? Bill Belichick? He certainly didn't do well with Cam Newton.
I think one coach who actually would have done a little bit better, I'm not saying win the Super Bowl, but a bit better and kind of been more in the mix, would have been John Fox. But that's what John Fox does best. John Fox, his MO is making a bad team competitive. He's not the guy that you want to take it over the top, as we saw back in 2013. But in terms of making a bad team respectable and competitive, and wringing out whatever you can from parts that don't really fit well together, that's his like area of expertise. So like, it's weird to think this, because I know people kind of hear the name John Fox in Broncos country and they shudder a little bit. I think John Fox, with these teams of the last few years, probably would have been able to wring out a 9-7, perhaps a playoff season from these last 4 years.
Okay. You were part of this team, so you can educate me far more than I can educate you. When the Carolina Panthers went to the Super Bowl, right, with Jake DeLome, is that correct?
2003.
Did they have a historic defense?
No.
Oh,
they had a good defense, right? And to their credit, it was when it mattered most in the NFC Championship game in Philly. They had a great day on defense when they shut down the Eagles. But you look at, you know, I kind of go through the Hall of Fame test, because a lot of the all time historic defenses we talk about have three Hall of Famers. The only Hall of Famer on that Carolina defense is Julius Peppers.
Right.
And he's a lock. He'll probably be a first ballot guy, but that was it.
Give me just for fun, off the top of your head, give me the top five coaches of all time in NFL history, no particular order.
Belichick.
Okay.
Lombardi.
Yep.
Shula.
Yep.
Hallis.
Yep. Well, that's going way back. Don't go that far back.
Okay. Chuck Knoll.
Okay.
Bill Walsh.
And who else?
Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh. Okay. So what do they all have in common? All of them had Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
That they did.
Every single one. Bart Starr, Tom Brady. Chuck Noll was great when he had Terry Bradshaw, but what happened when he had Neil O'Donnell? Not as good.
Not as good, although they're kind of like John Fox, was able to wring some 9-7 playoff win seasons out of Mark Malone and Bubby Brister. But
right.
That was a case of just kind of saying, okay, how do I make these parts fit? But
right.
They weren't going to do anything big with those guys.
And Bill Walsh had Joe Montana and Steve Young.
Not
now,
too shabby.
The only exception I'll give, I will separate Bill Walsh from the rest, is that Bill Walsh's system helped make those quarterbacks great.
Yeah. And the other guy I would throw in there is Joe Gibbs, who did win with Doug Williams and Mark Rippon and Joe Theismann.
I'm with you on that. But you know who the greatest coach of all time is, in my opinion?
Who?
Bill Parcells. Took every team that he took over, none of them were good, and he took all of them to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Every franchise he left better than he found it. Every single one.
How many Hall of Fame quarterbacks did he have? Not Phil Simms, not Jeff Hostetler, not Mark Sanchez, not Drew Bledsoe, right?
I mean,
not. And who was his quarterback in Dallas?
It was Bledsoe, and then briefly Testaverde, and then at the end Tony Romo. And the funny thing is, even though he didn't get much of Romo, Romo was probably the best quarterback that he ever worked with in terms of what he did as a pro.
Bill Parcells won a pair of Super Bowls with a couple of guys who won't even come close to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
He and Joe Gibbs have done more with less. And I don't think there is a close third, with the exception of Bill Walsh, because of his offensive system. So if I had to rank coaches, I'd probably put it somewhere in that order, but I would still give a nod to Belichick because of free agency, with what he has been able to do with rosters changing over. But then again, the one consistent was always Tom Brady.
And don't forget, though, with Don Shula, he did have a lot of success with Dan Marino and won a couple of Super Bowls with Brian Griese. He also went...
Not Bob Griese.
Or Bob Griese, pardon me.
If he won with Brian Griese, that would be something.
Yeah, but he did get two Super Bowls with Earl Morrill and David Woodley, and so you got to give a tip of the cap to Don Shula for doing that as well. He was still able to have very good teams without Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
All right, coming up after the break, there's reportedly a stalemate between the Avs and Gabriel Landeskog, with Landeskog potentially heading into free agency. Okay, so here's the question. You don't want the Avs to lose Gabriel Landeskog. You certainly don't want the Rockies to lose Trevor Story. And if the Nuggets really want to go for it, they might have to trade MPJ. With that, which of these three Denver athletes, which one would you hate to lose the most? That's next.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Well, how appropriate, Danny, playing this song as we lead into the next segment. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, you need to go to rmfp.com. And we're talking about with your next project, whether you're building a fence, a deck, doing some siding, there is no reason to spend more money than you need to. Wholesale lumber, yeah, that's the real deal at Rocky Mountain Forest Products. You go to the other big box stores, it is retail. And when you're doing a big project, think about all of that money adding up. No matter what type of lumber you need, there's no reason to pay more when you have Rocky Mountain Forest Products sitting right here in Wheat Ridge, which is obviously a suburb of Denver, and their lumber is all over the state, specifically in Power Field, Coors Field, You can find their lumber everywhere. Why not have it in your home? Certainly at the right price. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
All right, so there's reportedly a stalemate between the Avalanche and Captain Gabriel Landeskog, with Landy possibly heading into free agency as an unrestricted free agent. The Avs would also like to sign Cale Makar. He is restricted, but they're going to have to pay him big time, possibly $8, $9, $10 million a season. Grubauer, Vezina Trophy finalist, he is an unrestricted free agent, and so is Brandon Saad. So, as Danny led in with the bump music, is it the end of the world as we know it if the Avs lose Landeskog? The Rockies going to lose Trevor Story at some point, whether at the trade deadline or after the season, or if the Nuggets really want to make a run, maybe they trade MPJ. We talked about this at the top of the show. Maybe you want Bradley Beal. That's who the Wizards want. So, with that, which Denver athlete would you hate to lose the most, Mace?
I'd say MPJ, even though you might get Bradley Beal back for him. So the return is going to be the greatest of these three. Because if you lose Landeskog, he's a free agent. You're getting nothing back. You lose Trevor Story, whether you trade him, or if, as we discussed yesterday and earlier this week before that, if Bill Schmidt says, I'm just going to give him the qualifying offer, and then we'll get a first round a compensatory pick at the end of round one back, that's still not what Trevor Story is worth. I would hate losing MPJ because of where I think he can go talent-wise, but at least you get the most in return. So for the player, I hate losing the player, but you get the most back.
But wait, so what? That doesn't make sense to me. You hate to lose MPJ the most, but you're getting the most value in return.
Well, I'm not thinking about the value back. I'm thinking about just the trajectory of the player. I think Michael Porter Jr. is going to be special in 2 or 3 years. And I think the best is yet to come. Whereas I feel like we've gotten the best from Landeskog, and I'm not sure we're going to see better from Trevor Story. But I know MPJ's best is in his future.
Well, we know that Trevor Story is definitely gone.
Yes.
He's one gone way or no another. Matter what. I would have no problems losing MPJ if I can get a Bradley Beal back. I wouldn't even think twice about MPJ. The guy I'd hate to lose the most is Landeskog, although I would sign Grubauer over Landeskog. Landeskog is third on my list. This is Makar's team and McKinnon's team.
Yes.
Trevor Story, you know, is gone no matter what. MPJ hasn't been around long enough for me to really have any type of emotional ties to him. Landeskog came here as a rookie, became the captain. He has been through some bad times. He is going through some good times. I'm not emotionally invested in MPJ enough, especially knowing I could get some huge value for him. And here's something else. I had this conversation with somebody recently. Rockies fans were very upset that Nolan Arenado got traded, and were especially upset because of what they got in return. But Nolan Arenado endeared himself to the fans because of his enthusiasm for the game and his emotion on the field. As much as I love Trevor Story as a player, and I do, and he's a really good guy as well, I don't think Rockies fans are really going to be that upset for this reason alone. Trevor Story has not endeared himself to the fans. And I'm not faulting him for it. I'm just saying he is not an emotional guy. If everybody remembers back to Father's Day, more than a few years ago, you have Nolan Arenado. What was it? A game-winning hit, game-winning home run. Blood on his jersey. There's a famous picture of him in white and powder blue. That encapsulates Nolan Arenado and his passion for the game and his passion, you can make the case, for Denver. Trevor Story has never had one of those moments. He was terrific in his rookie season, especially in April. But Landeskog has been a captain. Trevor Story, for as good as he is, I don't know if he ever really registered to the full extent like a Todd Helton, like a Nolan Arenado. I don't think Trevor Story has done that. So when he leaves, yeah, it's too bad. He's a really, really good player. But I don't think Rockies fans have embraced him like they did Nolan Arenado.
And the other thing, with all respect to Trevor Story, until this year, he was the second banana. And sometimes the third, because you had Charlie Blackman as well, who was still doing well for a long time.
Charlie Blackman is far more popular than Trevor Story will ever be. You know why? One word. Beard.
Well,
his beard made him popular. And Charlie Blackman was terrific for a lot of years. He was the best leadoff hitter in baseball. But it's his beard that makes him recognizable.
There's another one. Tonight. Having a great walk-up song that fans could sing along with.
That was a bad, bad impersonation of the outfield.
Well, that's how people sound when they're doing it when they're half.
No, that's how. That's
when
how
half
you
drunk
sound.
At a game.
That's how you sound. That's how you sound.
Can't you just give me a little bit of a boost there?
No, I can't.
Don't be jealous that Mace has a better singing voice than you.
Oh,
I'm not jealous at all, Danny. And who gave you permission to chime in?
All right. You put something here, and I'm going to ask you this. Would you be especially upset with Landeskog if he left for Vegas?
No, because he has every right to go where he wants to go, but you can make the case. Mm-hmm. He's a front runner. He's joining a team that you can make the case is now the Avs' rival. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to give him the money, and Vegas does now, I would be upset. If I think the Avs are probably offering in the neighborhood of about $5.5 million a year. I'm guessing he wants in the neighborhood of 6 to 7.5. You can make the case he might not be worth it. He was terrific in those opening two playoff games against the St. Louis Blues, but after that, he kind of disappeared. I would be upset with Landeskog if he wanted more than 5.5 and Vegas gives him 5.5. Then I'd probably be a little bit more upset. If he took less or the same amount. Look, here. If he pulls a Jeremy Grant, then I think Avs fans should be upset with him.
Fair. And now the report that was out there from I believe it was Andy Strickland and Bally Sports Midwest said that the teams on Landeskog's wish list, if he moves on from the Avs, are the Panthers, Blues, Islanders, Maple Leafs, Vegas, and Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay, I don't know.
Good list. Good list.
Yeah, they're what do they have in common? They're all playoff teams. And
that's right.
And those that, like, the Florida Panthers are becoming a contender, even though they lost in round one. I had to laugh when the Lightning was included in this, because I'm like, where are the Lightning finding cap space for Landeskog unless he's literally going to play for the league minimum? They don't have that. So, but Vegas is a reasonable possibility. Toronto is a reasonable possibility. The Islanders are intriguing because, as we saw in the postseason, Semyon Varlamov, having left the Avs, they are close in New York.
Let me tell you something about the Islanders. They are more Varlamov than the rest of their roster. That's one guy's opinion. And you're banking on Varlamov to have two consecutive great seasons, and that has never happened in his
career. He's carried them to the brink of the Stanley Cup Finals in two consecutive years. The point is, They've got what you consider to be the most important part to make a Stanley Cup run. Landeskog is the kind of presence that could make it a more complete team that would allow them to get past that hurdle that they've been unable to surpass in the last two postseasons, and that's the Lightning. And so that's why that could be a really intriguing pairing if Landeskog wants to move on.
Coming up after the break, our mutual friend Ryan Edwards, the guy he used to do a show with, is throwing out the first pitch at Coors Field tonight. I can promise you he's not going to do any worse than our friend Peyton Manning. But I talked to Ryan on the phone today, and I gave him some advice on throwing out the first pitch because I've done it before. I did it at Wrigley Field. I did it at Comiskey Park, the old Comiskey Park. I'll tell you what I told him, but also, Mace, if you could throw out the first pitch at any stadium or any event outside of Atlanta, where would it be? And do you think you'd throw a strike? That's next.
Get straight. Go forward. Move ahead. Try to detect it. It's not too late to rip it.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, but wholesale lumber to the public, for your next project, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
A lot of highlights, All-Star Game weekend. One of the lowlights, our friend Peyton Manning, who threw a lot of wobbly passes, a lot of wobbly touchdowns, but also one in the dirt. It wasn't a good showing for the future Hall of Famer. With that, our friend Ryan Edwards, who works at another radio station, he used to do a show with him at another radio station. I had a conversation with him today because I have thrown out the first pitch at Wrigley, also did the seventh inning stretch as well, and then threw out the first pitch at Comiskey. And I said, when I did it, I did not practice at all. I just had no opportunity to practice. I'm guessing Peyton practiced forever. And to have that type of showing, I was a little surprised. And Ryan told me he has been practicing for tonight's game. He said he didn't even sleep last night. He's kind of nervous about him. The first thing I said was, enjoy the moment. When you're out there, turn around, look at the crowd, and just soak it all in. But then I said, when you get to the mound, be very careful. Because if you want to throw a strike, because the mound is high, if you throw it straight, you're going to force the catcher to stand up. So what you need to do is just, like I used to pitch, you just need to slowly snap your wrist and you will throw it right over the plate. Do not overthrow it either, because then you'll have a Peyton Manning moment. With that, Mace, if you could throw out the first pitch at any stadium or any event, you can't pick Atlanta, obviously, that's your team. Which one would it be, and do you think you'd throw a strike?
If we're being honest, I'm so afraid that I would mess it up that I would want as few people as possible to see
it. Then Tampa's perfect.
I'm going to go back home to St. Petersburg, and I'll throw out the first pitch before a midweek Rays game against Baltimore. There you go.
Right. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Nobody would see it.
I'm afraid. Well, I say that, but if I was really bad, then it would get out there. But I think if I did it, it would be garden variety bad. I think I would probably have the issue of it, of not adjusting to throwing off the mound. I think it would go high.
Okay. So what do you think would be more difficult for just an average guy like me and you in front of a sellout crowd with no practice at all, throwing a first pitch strike at the beginning of a baseball game, hitting a free throw at, say, a break in a basketball game, packed house, mm-hmm. kicking a 25-yard field goal, let's just say at Empower Field, in between, not in between plays, but at a commercial break, or shooting a hockey puck at mid-ice into the net?
I'd say I would have the least chance of succeeding on a first pitch strike.
Really?
Yes. And, I mean, with a hockey puck at center ice, I think, you know, I could put it in the vicinity.
No, it's not about, no. Yeah. I didn't ask for the vicinity. Oh, okay. I said into the net, in the vicinity. Net.
Yeah. I think I'd have a better chance of getting it to the net than throwing a strike. All of those things, I think that one that I would have the least chance of doing is a strike.
Let me rephrase it. Throwing a first pitch without embarrassing yourself. How's that? Is that better?
Okay.
So you don't have to throw a strike. Just without embarrassing yourself.
Okay, I don't have to throw a strike, but I don't have to embarrass myself. Okay, then the one that I would not want to do is kick a 25-yard field goal.
Yeah. Danny, how about you?
Yeah, I was going to say that the 25-yard field goal might be the toughest. But I'm also not a hockey guy, so I would probably significantly struggle shooting a puck into the net just because I don't have very many reps with that. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty confident in my free throw shooting ability, though.
Yeah, the free throw thing, even though you'd be nervous with the crowd, that's the one where I think playing basketball growing up, I mean, I still to this day have the same ritual at the line when I can shoot free throws, and I think muscle memory would kick in and I wouldn't embarrass myself.
I think all of us would wind up short, and I'll tell you why. Because the depth perception is so much difficult, so different than playing at the YMCA.
Well, that's why you're not thinking about looking, like you're not thinking about looking up. I'm thinking about I'm actually not looking at the rim except to make sure that my elbow is lined up. At that point, I'm just shooting and I'm thinking, okay, there is the depth perception, but the basket's just as far away as it is at the Y or out in the playground.
Right. Danny, what would be the easiest? Basketball?
Yeah, I play a good amount of basketball these days, so that would be the easiest for me.
I've heard you're not very good.
Huh.
You talking to Danny Williams? He's trying to spread rumors about me.
Way to throw him.
We played at the Y
bus,
and we actually had some pretty good games together. So he's pretty good, but we both have different games. I think we have pretty complementary games, if I was to say.
Have you ever played with Ottawa?
I have not. I actually would really love to play with Doug. He probably is way better than me, but I think it would be a lot of fun.
You know what he once told me, and I hope he's listening because I know he listens to the show. He said there isn't a woman on the planet they could beat him in a game of one-on-one. And I said, there's absolutely no way that's true.
I could probably name five right now.
So could I.
Yeah. Let's take anybody who played in the WNBA All-Star game, which was WNBA All-Stars versus the U.S. national team. I respect you, Doug. I think they'd all beat you.
I don't think Doug would ever say that, Eric.
He did. You should ask him. He did tell me that. But you got to remember about Doug. He is about 6'2", 6'3". He's got a very good outside shot, and he could probably back anybody down. So it might not be that big of a stretch. But I think he'd, like Cheryl Swoops in her prime, I'm sorry, Doug, forget about it. Right?
Yeah, even somebody who he's got size on, like
Candace
Sue Bird.
Candace Parker would back him down, but I don't know if Candace Parker has an outside shot.
Well, she's on the cover of 2K.
How tall is Sue Bird?
What is she, like 5'11", 6 feet, I believe?
Is she that tall?
I believe so.
She is 5'9".
Okay.
Yeah. Doug would have a huge size advantage and guard her tight.
Yeah, but she could probably pick his pocket a couple times.
I'm guessing she could. I hope I didn't throw Doug under the bus there. Maybe I just unleashed a private conversation I should not
I still
have.
Don't really believe you.
You should call him and ask him. Do you have his number? Want me to just give his number on
I
the
do.
Air?
Maybe,
now that
no, we'll,
now that I've totally embarrassed
maybe him. We'll have him on later in the year. We'll have him on the show and he can defend himself.
No, I don't think he'd want to publicly, but I think I just accidentally threw him under the bus. With that, what do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Well, the Atlanta Braves made a trade today to try to fill the shoes of Ronald Acuna Jr. Also, NBA Finals Game 5 going down tomorrow night. We'll talk about all that next, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
I do not spend a lot or any time in strip clubs, but this is a strip club of a song as you could possibly get. Because when I hear this, I'm thinking, Brittany, please report to the main stage. Mace, you've been to a lot of strip clubs. Do you agree?
I wouldn't say I've been to a lot. I wouldn't say I've been to any in the last, like, 21, 22 years or so.
I've never heard this song in a strip club.
Are you pour some sugar on me? Are you joking?
I guess maybe I just go to a strip club with a younger crowd. I don't know.
Maybe that's it, because I can say that from my relatively brief long-ago experience in such establishments, yes, this song was in regular rotation.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I mean.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Well, we've certainly taken this show off the rails. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, NBA Finals Game 5 tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Mountain Time on ABC. So far in this series between the Bucks and the Suns, the home team has won every single game. Does that trend continue as they head back to Phoenix, or is Milwaukee's momentum too much for the Suns to overcome?
You know what? There's been a common thread of Milwaukee's series to this point in the playoffs, and that is they've usually taken a while to kind of figure out an opponent, but then they play better. Like, for example, against the Nets, they won 4 of the last 5 in that series, winning it in 7. You know what? I don't think they win Game 5, but I think they're going to win Game 6 and 7.
I think they win Game 5 and close it out in 6.
So the fans are going to be right in Milwaukee when they were chanting Bucks in 6 on Wednesday night over and over again.
Listen, Suns in 4 guy doesn't have a narrative anymore.
That's true. That's very true.
And I think we can all be thankful for that. Just in case you missed it, the Cubs have traded Jock Peterson to the Atlanta Braves for first base prospect Bryce Ball. Obviously, it's very difficult to replace a guy like Ronald Acuna Jr., but how much does Jock Peterson help the Braves stay hot on the heels of the New York Mets? They're only 4 games behind in the NL East, 7 games back of the wild card.
Not much, because you consider it's not just Ronald Acuna Jr. being down. Marcell Ozuna was hurt and then got suspended hasn't been suspended, but he's been hurt. But he may never play again for the Braves after the domestic violence incident a couple of months back. Their ace, Mike Soroka, suffered a second ruptured Achilles and is out for the year. Their bullpen is a mess. Max Fried has been on the injured list. Ian Anderson, another starting pitcher, is on the injured list. I feel like they're... And they also play the Rays and the Padres immediately coming out of the All-Star break. So they trade for Peterson, and they're trying to kind of stay afloat. But it's possible that if they struggle in this next week against the Rays and Padres, they might turn around and trade Jock Peterson at the deadline and be sellers. I think is more possible than him staying the rest of the year.
Danny, with Mace being a huge Atlanta Braves fan, do you think I could possibly top that analysis?
Well, sometimes I have questions that are specifically for one or both of you, and this time that was a question for Mace.
What do you have specifically for me? Give me one example. Just one.
Well, there was that one time when I asked about horses, and unbeknownst to me, you're a big horse guy.
Yeah, but here's the... First of all, I'm not a big horse guy at all. Mandy's the big horse person. But something else to consider, you're trying to give yourself credit for asking me a horse question when you didn't even know I knew anything about horses.
Well, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Well, you weren't lucky because I don't know anything about horses. So what else you got?
I'll make sure that I have something special for you next week, Eric.
Really? What day? What day can I expect this?
If you'd like to pick a day, I can do my best to accommodate you.
Pick a day that ends in the letter Y.
All right, I'll think of something.
Okay.
Just in case you missed it, Wes Unseld Jr. expected to become the head coach of the Washington Wizards. Wes Unseld, his father, was a Bullets legend, Hall of Famer for that franchise way back in the day. He unfortunately passed away last year. Wes Unseld Jr. has been huge for the Nuggets coaching staff because he really helped turn the defense around back in 2015 when he came on under Mike Malone. Is this a massive loss for the Denver Nuggets, or is this more of a victory for them because one of their great assistants is getting a shot at a head coaching gig?
It can be both. I mean, you hate losing a talented coach like Wes Unseld Jr., but it says a lot for the program that you've built and the culture you've built when one of your coaches is being called to coach somebody else. Although that being said, the Wizards are very familiar with Wes Unseld Jr. Obviously, the name being the son of the great Wes Unseld, but also he spent years as a scout and working in the personnel department before he got into coaching and spent 6 years there. So it's good on the Nuggets, but it's also a homecoming for Wes Unseld Jr., and they know what kind of guy they're getting.
I had a great answer, but Mace, you took all the time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever. No, listen, it's all about you. We're just going to change the name of the show to Afternoon Drive with Mason and that other guy.
Oh, stop it.
That was Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it. We've had a lot of hail recently, so you might as well go with the company that was recently voted Denver's best roofing company. Their customers have given them over 85-star Google reviews. Call for a free roof inspection today if this sounds like you or someone you know, to see how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Why should you pay for it? That's what you pay the insurance company for, right? Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Nolan, great job today. Danny, fantastic all week. Mace, you were terrific again, and I'm going to think about all the mistakes I made today and earlier this week. I'm going to regroup over the weekend and try and put on a marginal performance again on Monday. Make it the best possible night you can. I am wasting no more time.